Have you ever had a conversation that leaned on life or death? I mean, you got to make decisions that require actions. It may be with a doctor or with a loved one. Maybe someone in your line of work, because of the line of work that you do, you have to have those conversations. Well, Easter Sunday, the day that we remember the resurrection of Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection, it's all about redemption. It's all about redeeming us from sin. And Jesus had a lot of conversations. But I'm going to focus today on a conversation, one conversation that he had, that shows he never gives up on us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
It's called a conversation on the cross. It's in Luke 23. And it's a great piece to take a look at. And I'm going to run you through this so that you know what the time and the place and what the setting is. I mean, it was for the Passover feast. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. It's called Palm Sunday because of all palm branches that were thrown on the ground when Jesus came in on the donkey and all the celebration. And it was Passover this week. It was Friday. And his disciples, Thursday night, Friday, his disciples were preparing for the Passover, which was a yearly celebration that the Jewish people had. And it observed each year because they were set free from Egypt during the Passover. The nation of Israel was in captivity in Egypt for about 400 years. And they were treated as slaves. They built the cities for Pharaoh and Ramses. And a man named Moses was sent by God to rescue them. But he would not allow them to go. Pharaoh wouldn't. So there were these 10 plagues that came. And you may have heard about them. But Moses would go to Pharaoh and say, hey, you got to let my people go. No. Well, if you don't, here's what's going to happen. And it wasn't like he was hiding it from him. It wasn't like it was a secret. But these things happened. These plagues came. Blood filled the Nile River. There were frogs and gnats and flies that covered everything. The Egyptian livestock, they all died. Hail came and destroyed things. Locusts ate up all the crops. It was dark for 3 days and 3 nights. And the scriptures say that it was a darkness that you could feel. And then Passover, the death of the firstborn, it was the last plague. And Pharaoh did not want his slave labor to leave. And God told Moses to have the people get a year-old spotless lamb and bring it in your living quarters on the 10th day. And on the 14th day, take it, kill it, roast it, and eat it, and get ready to leave. And he also gave the instructions to when the lamb was slain for freedom to get a hyssop branch and put blood on the doorpost and the lintel. So that would protect you from the death angel that was going to pass over that night. And it would kill the firstborn of all Egypt, children and animals. And here's what it looks like in Exodus 12, where Moses and God are having this conversation, and he's explaining it. Exodus 12, 21 says that Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select an animal for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out the door of your house until morning. And when the Lord goes through the land and strikes down the Egyptians, he'll see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter in your houses and strike you down. And this occurred. And the Pharaoh let the people of Israel go. And they went from death to life. They went from captivity to freedom. And that very night that it happened, It's recorded in Scripture in Exodus 12 how Pharaoh summoned Moses. It says, during the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. And God has some further instructions for him. He said to do this as a lasting ordinance, this Passover meal. And it says this in Exodus 12, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. And when you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as you promised, observe this ceremony. And so this week that we're in, from last Sunday till today, was Passover week, Holy Week, Passion Week. It was a week that was a celebration of the Passover feast for hundreds of years after God's people were released from captivity. And Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem to observe this ordinance. They had a Last Supper in an upper room. And it was after this last meal that they observed, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, just outside of where Jerusalem was. And it was where Jesus was betrayed by Judas. And he was seized and taken by the authorities. And he had a mock trial. And he was turned over to be crucified. I mean, there's so many stories in this simple narrative. The crowds choosing Barabbas. The rule was that once a year at Passover, they would let a prisoner go. And Barabbas was going to be the one, a terrible criminal, that was let go. But instead, they said, set Barabbas free. And he says, what do I do with Jesus? And they said, crucify him. There's the personalities of Herod and Pilate and Caiaphas. We could talk about that. But the real story today is a story about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the reason it's important, because his death and his resurrection was to take away our penalty for sin, our redemption. See, John knew about it. In John 1:29, he said, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's also recorded in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So Jesus was crucified for our sins. He was laid in a stone grave with a big stone pushed in front of it. And some women came out to dress the body of Jesus after the third day on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. It would be this day today. And here's how it's recorded in Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone had rolled away from the tomb. But when he entered, he did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus rose from the grave so that we could have eternal life. And that's important because it is an everlasting consequence for eternal life or death. The angels were at the tomb where the stone was. The women came to see and anoint his body. And the angels reminded them of what Jesus himself had said, a conversation. Says, it's recorded in Luke 26. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. And he quoted Jesus, the angel did. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified on the third day and be raised again. And then they remembered his words. A lot of conversations that Jesus had had. But you see, those were not the only words that were important. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in Passover and Passover week. And there were a lot of more conversations that Jesus had. Sermon on the Mount and the high priestly prayer. I mean, you could dig into all that and we could go at it for a long time. But the words that Jesus spoke near the end of his life, just like you may have been with someone you know or love, and they've said some words, their last words, the last conversation, that had life or death implications. So I want to focus on the conversation that Jesus had on the cross. I mean, this conversation was between three people. Two sinners on either side and one Savior in the middle. And they were together for a couple of hours as they were nailed to wooden crosses on Golgotha, the hill. I mean, it seems so complicated. Passover and sacrifice and the rules and Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Ash Wednesday. And this whole circus surrounding Jesus this last week that he was in town. The large crowds cheering Hosanna last Sunday. And then this very week crying, crucify him. And all the shouting, the crying, the disbelief, the denials by his own disciples, the splitting up of them. But Jesus was not through with his work. He had one more important conversation to hold. And while he had his hands and feet nailed to a wooden cross, and after being beaten, he hangs there and has just a few more words to say. They're so important. What was the conversation on the cross?
One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus, saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God? We are punished justly, for we're getting what we deserve. But this man, he's done nothing wrong." Then he turned and said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Those are some of my favorite verses in all of the New Testament, and I think they should be some of your favorite verses too. Here's why. Because I think that's the most simple and clear picture we have of the free grace of God. The good thief had nothing to give to God. No church attendance, no church membership, no baptism, no communion, no tithing, no mission trips, no prayer meetings, no Bible studies. No time to go and make right all the wrongs he had committed. No time to figure out how to nuance some of the doctrines of the Christian faith, like justification by faith and the inerrancy of scriptures. No time to grow in holiness and sanctification. No time to impress anyone with anything. He had nothing to give to God. He is just a naked, dying, sinful man who can't even fold his hands to pray. But against all odds, that man walks into heaven in the same hour as Jesus. He walks into the kingdom of God with the King of Kings. I heard a pastor recently explain this story and what it could have been like. Now, I don't think it actually happened this way, but he said, just imagine what it would have been like for that thief to enter in to heaven. Suppose there are angels there greeting him, saying, now, who are you and how did you get here? And he says, I don't know exactly how I got here. They say, well, are you a Christian? Well, what's a Christian? Do you believe in salvation by grace alone through faith alone? Well, I'm not sure. Well, do you at least believe in the full deity and humanity of Christ? Well, I'm not even sure what that means. Frustrated, the angels finally say, well, then on what basis are you here? And so the best that he could come up with is this. He says, the man on the middle cross said I could come. And that's the only answer anybody ever needs. The man on the middle cross said I could come. Jesus didn't die alone. He died next to a brother. He died next to a Christian. And the last day of that man's life turned out to be the best day of his life.
This could be the best day of your life. It could be the best day of your life too. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. See, the bottom line to all this is that our life is personal for Jesus, just like it's personal for us. He will not stop pursuing us. And he's alive. The stone was rolled away. And he did that for us. Do you know Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus Christ died for us to redeem us. If you haven't given your life to Christ, today can be the best day of your life too, just like the man on the cross. And if the Lord is speaking to you today and saying, yeah, I realize I've been trying to do it on my own, but I need help. Thank God we've got a Savior.
Thank you.
A Redeemer. A Passoverer. For us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this empty tomb. And I thank you, God, that we can step back from this empty tomb and see these crosses and see what it really takes to get with you. And all it is to ask. Father, for those here that don't know the Lord, or those watching that don't know the Lord, that you would come powerfully to them today. Move them to have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah.
This is Pastor Louis. I hope you've enjoyed the message today, and I hope that it has encouraged you. If you need any further information about the message or our ministries, please contact us at the numbers on the screen. Our live worship is 10:30 each Sunday morning, and we can also be seen on YouTube and Facebook at thelivingcornerstone.org. Be blessed.